So education movies. What's everyone's favourite education movie? And why?
So, Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
Back in the Habit.
Yeah.
The first one I don't think counts as education. Although they're learning to sing, it's not like education. Whereas 2 has a very pro-education bent to it, where inner city kids are being taught the value of education because previously they didn't want it or something. Anyway, Sister Act 2 back
Sister
in the
Act
Habit.
Sister Act 2 back in the Habit.
On your screens now.
If you look for it. Yeah. Paul?
I'm gonna go with all the X-Men movies.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Every single one of them. One. Especially the one with the giant samurai.
I've got that one on DVD. I've not seen it yet, I think. Is that Wolverine?
Just I think Wolverine. It's Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Giant samurai.
That film does have
like a weird school vibe.
Yeah.
And also a giant samurai.
Yeah, no, Sucker Punch. It's not got a school in it at all. I think I've only shown you that one clip where she's fighting the samurai.
I've seen Sucker Punch.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
I've seen Sucker Punch.
Yeah. It's not got a school vibe.
It's got school uniforms
no,
in it.
Isn't it a mental asylum though?
Yeah.
No, it starts mental in a mental asylum, and then there are three other layers.
Oh yeah.
Like she goes into like,
there are way too many layers in
delusions.
That film for it to be what it is.
Hey.
It's way too like
that's a great film.
It's a great movie, but it's for what it is, it's way too complex.
Yeah, she goes into a lot of delusiony things there. One of those has a school vibe. I think it's the one where they're like fighting clockwork Nazis,
which is also
some
the war
reason.
Bit.
Yeah, and they've got
fighting clockwork Nazis in a World War One trench.
No, it's steampunk Nazis.
Yes,
zombie steampunk Nazis.
Yeah. And,
Jesus Christ.
But their mentor through all of this is the guy who plays Stick in Daredevil.
No, he's just the bus. He's the mentor in the world. But in the real world, it's a French
fucking bus driver. This film is insane.
Trying to here we are in an education film podcast, trying to deconstruct the film Sucker Punch.
And so anyway, to go back to X-Men, all of them, that's a pretty bad school. You, as an educator, surely you'd want one
okay,
that portrays
so,
school well.
Yeah, but my thing here is this is the main issue with a lot of schools is like the boring rote learning of doing kind of like the same thing and not being applicable to the real world.
And not they enough superpowers.
They literally train...
Yeah.
In a really open growth mindset environment, just for the real world. It's brilliant. That's like good schooling.
To be honest, they are learning skills to survive in the real world.
Yeah, literally.
Of business and combat.
Honestly, fucking about to say, and pleasure.
In fact, I don't think I know of any like X-Men, like what do they call it? X Academy?
It's Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters.
That one. I've never heard a success story from there. I don't know what their Ofsted review is like.
It is that sad thing as well, where the people that do best in the school go out into the real world and go, fuck it, I'm going to be a teacher. And they just come back to the school.
I was going to say, institutionalised teaching, I think, would be... so you just end up being in school for the rest of your life if you go there, I guess.
Yep.
It's either teachers
or death.
Or kids. There's no mid ground in the X-Men world.
Yeah.
Deadpool.
To be fair though, Tom, there's no mid ground in schools either.
It is terrifying.
But you
it's
don't
all
see
teachers or kids.
But you don't see those kids grow up and like go to work. Eventually.
That's a good point.
Like, there's no mutants that are just blue-collar guys.
Without wanting to put in a hierarchy of jobs, they're all gifted youngsters, so it's unlikely they'd end up in a... blue collar type job.
I mean, yeah, and also, hang on.
I've seen Nightcrawler behind the desk.
They do have a blue collar job.
Yeah?
Yeah? They've got that blue kind of collar around the. And then it's got an X on the front. And then they've got, like. I mean, Wolverine's got a big, big collar, like, thing, right? Like, Gambit's got a big old collar and all, hasn't he?
He's
that's
got
a brown
collar,
though, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. It's a...
So, you know, I don't know what kind of job that denotes.
Sanitation,
throwing,
I guess.
Throwing cards. Job.
I guess, Gambit
being
again
in,
is another one that's not a teacher or a student.
Yeah, like, being in the X-Men, yeah. I think, is a job.
Mm.
Potentially. I don't
so
know.
All those kids are... Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, are they going to become X-Men?
Well, it's kind of just a sanctuary thing, isn't it? So there's no upper age limit on the school, because if you think of Colossus in the first one, I think, where
right.
he's just wandering around carrying like an old school TV under one arm.
It says youngsters, like, on the door.
But he's clearly like well over 20,
mid 30s. At a push.
But it says it on the door.
I mean, how are you defining youngsters, though? That's the...
I mean, I guess, like, younger than Dr. X.
It goes to show, right...
What does it go to show?
It goes to show, right, that when you're a kid, you're like, oh, X-Men, I want to become an X-Men because I've got superpowers and stuff like that. Nowadays, it's like, I want to become an X-Men because I want to be back at school.
I want to become an X-Men, too.
Yeah, why?
X-Men 1's better.
Okay, so from Matthew Presley, we've got the troubled brooding guy who wasn't a misunderstood genius.
This is fantastic. So a thing you find yourself doing when you are a teacher,
yeah,
is that you try really hard to not do this, but you're pigeonhole students. So you're sat in the class, yeah, and you're like jock, nerd, loser.
Mm.
Oh, let's not upset that kid. They're close.
He's got access to firearms somehow.
No one knows how or why.
Is it? And I know this is true. And I'm going to ask you anyway. Like like all good interviewers, I know the truth. I know the answer. I'm going to ask you anyway. Is it true that teachers ship students?
Oh, of course not. You should never do that. That's a really weird... That's all the fucking time.
Yep.
It's basically constantly the only thing you talk about in the classroom.
They pair them off. They go, ooh, they'd make a good couple, etc., etc. It's weird. It is weird, isn't it?
I mean, it is. I think it's less of a thing... I don't know. I think it depends what department you're in as well.
Okay, what? Is there a Valentine's department in which this is rife, and then there's like the maths department where you're like, 1 + 1, hey!
It's more...
the maths department where you're like, 1 + 1,
yeah, cause,
hey!
Yeah, because they're a couple, right?
Oh, right,
you get it.
Yeah, I get it now. I'm just like,
you
oh,
me,
no, that's,
the perfect
that's
equation.
All the maths department does, apparently.
All I know is, right, that maths ones make the best Valentine's cards.
It's true.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's down to opinion, but yeah, is it?
Whereas, like, the geology department's just like... I took a lovely schist.
Check out that slag.
I've got a big hammer.
Will you be my slag?
Geologists do
it. Oh, I'm
going to
get
hammers.
My groin wet. That's a
yeah,
to...
they say, yeah. Oh, that's a lovely... I'd like to look at your bedding. Lots of shale.
Geology Valentine's cards are great. What are you on about? I like your bedding, lots of shale. I have never been wetter.
Yeah, that's how it works in the geology department. Whereas in the maths department, you're all suave and you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You say me and you, the perfect equation.
A light tangent to your curves.
Exactly. Exactly. You all fucking have them, don't you? You fucking maths teachers, you all got a line. Every single one. I don't know why I'm going off on maths teachers. They get enough shit as it is.
Yes.
Right, should we do the next one?
No,
you're staying on this now.
Yeah, we're staying on this one. The troubled, brooding guy who wasn't a misunderstood genius.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the entire film is shot from his perspective.
Okay.
And it's like, it's him being like the troubled, brooding kid. And like, it's shot really arty and made to be really, really deep and everything. And then right at the end of the film, it just cuts to his parents viewing him, and he's just like, he's just some kid.
That's
it, and then the film ends.
I feel like you could do that the other way around, and you could do it in terms of like him being like all like staff room, regularly in the staff room.
Okay, yeah, no,
the
I like
teachers
this.
teachers are looking at this kid, and he's so troubled and brooding. They're like, oh, he's got such talent, and it passes from this ensemble cast of teachers, right? Mm. And the teachers are like, okay, right. He wasn't good in the maths test. We're sending him to the art department because we think he's got something.
Oh, no, I've got an alternate pitch.
Okay.
So the entire thing is, it's a very sort of like bottle episode? Yeah, bottle episode type thing where all the teachers are sat around and they're theorising on why he's dark and brooding.
Right.
And they tell a story and then it cuts to like that story starring that kid.
Oh, man.
And it's like multiple directors as well, so you've got all these different...
Oh,
like,
shit, that's cool.
And then, and then it gets to the end and it's the kid's film and it's literally his like... GCSE art project of himself, and the last one's just him doing like a really shitty sort of, oh, my name's Dave and here's a day in my life. And it's
I genuinely thought you were going to start doing like peas and carrots rapping. My name's Dave and I'm here to say I'm going to walk around in a brooding way. Like,
also I had the idea of one day this kid came in and he looked troubled and brooding, so all the teachers were like, fuck, that kid's a genius. Must be. So they were all treating him like a genius. And because they were treating him more like a genius, he's like, why are they treating me more like a genius? I'm so troubled and brooding.
So sad because everyone gives you treatment.
It's like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Makes him troubled and brooding is because everyone treats him like a genius because he was one day like he like dropped some Skittles on the way to school and was like, oh. What is my life?
So two out of the three directors in this are J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, because they know how to do lame, brooding shit, don't they, really?
Who directed High Fidelity?
John Hughes, I believe.
I feel like they need
The
to
Breakfast
be.
Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That makes sense.
Okay. There you go. We've got our directors.
I'm also thinking of that scene where he drops Skittles. One of the teachers runs in and goes, how many red ones? Covers the Skittles up.
How many were there? And he's like, oh, 23, and there were.
Oh, no.
Not again.
I keep accidentally it's getting like, the right
it's
answer.
Like, it's like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, but with a genius mathematical brooding.
Oh, yeah, no, every time he's like, 20, and the guy's like, four.
I knew it. He's
50,
a genius.
Yeah.
It's like the worst case of funneling ever. Yeah. That's a really terrible
We're deconstructing the actualities, the realities of the education sector, and we're going to fix it with these
great
films.
Great, do it, please.
These movies are all getting made, and they're going to set the precedent for the next. That's right.
They're going to set the president for the next. I tell you what, right? Because the reason I'm doing this, and the reason we are doing education films, the reason we're going to change this is because I've got a fucking book to sell. And I've got this idea where every kid goes into one of eight categories. Okay. And they are tiered. Basically, I'm going to try and pitch it to the education secretary, and he's going to fucking lap it up, because as soon as you give the opportunity to put children into boxes, they fucking love it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then
the education secretary. Oh, right, cool.
And what's going to happen is he's going to spend probably about £8 billion changing the entire school system, and then
to fit around my book
that's based on these films.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is that 3 years later, just after an election turnover, I will be discredited, as I quite rightly should be, and they'll have to change it again and find some other fucker.
My issue with this is it's not funny because this is what happens.
Fave education movie. Matilda is my favourite education movie of
okay.
all time.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's set in a school. It's got all the right examples to set for a school, right? Like, Miss Honey's a pretty good teacher.
Is she, though?
I mean, she encourages book
learning.
I mean,
the number one rule is don't
adopt the children.
Yeah, don't build a personal relationship of that level with the children. It's a pretty major rule.
Don't become your children's mother.
I mean, the other rule is also don't like physically harm them by shoving them in a chokey. That's quite up there as well.
Force feeding them chocolate cake.
That's weirdly fine as long as they're not gluten intolerant.
Okay, that's all right then. Or lactose, I suppose. Okay, so maybe not. But what if...
So feed it, right? Feeding a child chocolate cake is fine.
Like, well, force feeding.
Maybe not force feeding. That's probably not.
So you're saying
that Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters is fine.
Yeah.
But as soon as someone's got superpowers in another school...
Okay, so there's a big argument about whether you should mix your special educational needs children with your sort of, you know, general population children.
Right.
There's arguments going both ways, but I think in the world where the special educational needs children could wipe out an entire school by accident, then it's probably best to keep them separate.
Point taken. So you think Matilda should not have been in
school? No. She should have been at Xavier's School for the Gifted.
Well, why doesn't that happen?
Because I think it might happen after Matilda.
X-Men happen after Matilda.
No. As in, like, after Matilda happens, she goes to live with Miss Honey and stuff, and then...
And then they turn up at her house.
And then a young baby is born, Charles Xavier,
I'm thinking as the camera pulls out of that window and she's reading Moby Dick or something, we could, like... It pulls out further... And at the front door,
turns to Xavier and goes, "I think I'm going to like this one."
It's what's her name? Phoenix. It's your favourite one, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, my favourite one. Good plot device, isn't it?
I think people should use that intro more often. He's a right stinkbag.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are not going to go wanting for hearing it in this film.
Yeah.
We can't swear. Here, so the only one you're hearing is Stinkbag.
You get one though, don't you?
Do you? Oh, I Chicken Run got Chicken Run Chicken got Run. Little Buggers. There you go.
That's the litmus paper the Life's a Pitch podcast run on, is it?
Yeah.
Chicken Run.
Whether Chicken Run got away with it or not, and they said Little Buggers.
I'm pretty sure you get one use of fuck.
Yeah,
in a
film like PG. For 11-year-olds.
I think PG. Shit, yeah. I think, is more likely.
So what we're actually going to be doing is we're not going to use that token for the last three films, and then in the fourth film, first three films, no swearing at all. Fourth film, like...
It's a gritty reboot by Christopher Nolan.
Cockshite is going to go in there. So, we're going to save up those tokens.
Yeah.
Or cocky fuckshite. Like,
okay,
so that we can use three tokens at once to cash them in for the fourth. Our music teacher, when we were in year seven, so when we were about 12, was Mr. Bullock.
Well then,
he was Snape, right? Like Harry Potter had only just come out, we were queuing up for music, and outside we're all chatting along, and
queue up quietly, students, on the way into the lesson.
Out of nowhere, just came, "Don't mind me, just the head of music coming through."
Was it Roger Allam?
And he's like,
"Tell you what, I am
blessed."
He walks in, and then we all go silent, obviously, because it's terrifying. Because it's a grown man shouting at a load of children, like, his own sort of status at us. And then we all walk in, sit down silently. He's like, "My name's Mr. Bullock. It is not Bullock or Bullcock. It is." He's just going. He listed on the board everything you can call him.
Champion.
And he says, "If I hear any of those, and I have very good hearing, I'm the head of music." then you'll be sent to the head teacher.
I like that he doubled down right at the start. He just walked in and was like, "Right, here we fucking go."
Yeah, clearly get their respect early. Or
these
fear.
Are the lines they're drawn.
Yeah, so that was my music teacher. So yeah, definitely Steinbach. Go over to soundcloud.com if you want to find all of our episodes so far. And of course, we haven't actually done an education episode yet. This is our first one, right?
Yeah, I think
there are plenty of episodes set in high school. We've done teen movies, which many of which are indeed set in schools.
There's a lot of crossover. There's a Venn diagram. Maths.
I'm now imagining like a Life's a Pitch poster, which is every single podcast and what genre we're in and how they overlap, and it's beautiful.
And Life's a Pitch is in none of them because we're completely unique, except for that one.
Oh yeah,
that one. We're coming for you, Elevator Pitch.
Oh yeah,
we're coming for
and
you.
We're angry.
Oh boy, am I peeved.
Yes.
Can I read out all of my titles?
This is a bit where we read out all of the titles given to us by the guests this week.
Let's have we've got another segment for you, ladies and gentlemen, in this show. We have
Paul's titles. Here's the jingle.
It's Paul's titles. He gave them in before he was on the show, and then not after.
That's it. That's done.
Cool. Oh, I can't remember them.
You can't remember them. Okay. Oh, fair enough.
Never mind. False alarm, everyone. No new segments this time. That was going to be a regular segment every week.
It's false titles.
But unfortunately, Paul can't remember his titles, so cancel that. We'll have to cancel that for next time.
I'm so sorry. You put so much effort into that jingle as well. Like the fucking Philharmonic Orchestra. I can't believe you managed to afford that as well.
I didn't afford it.
And that they fit in this room.
Just pulled a lot of strings.
Yeah.
Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.